brought to you by Penguin.
Sword Beach by Stephen Fisher. Read by Rory Alexander. Prologue. 2315, 4th of June, 1944. In the swirling waters off the coast of Normandy, 3.7 nautical miles north of the seaside town of Oustrem, a dark metal hull suddenly broke the surface. Pitching and rolling in the swell, it did not look like any conventional boat. Had anyone been around to see it, they might have mistaken it for wreckage. But even if someone had been around, it is doubtful that any but the keenest eyes would have seen this small object, even if it surfaced directly underneath them. A storm swept across the English Channel, and dark clouds blotted out almost everything around. Barely a foot above the surface, and with the waves breaking over it every few seconds, this diminutive little vessel was almost invisible. Inside, hands weakened by inactivity grasped a wheel. With a creak, it turned until a slight hiss emanated as the airtight seal was broken. The hatch was thrown open, and an exhausted figure clambered up and flopped his torso out onto the narrow deck. Cold sea air rushed into the interior of HMS X-23, followed by a cascade of spray. Feeling a little giddy from the rush of fresh air in his lungs, the midget submarine's commander, Lieutenant George Honor, lowered himself back through the hatch. The other four occupants of X-23 lounged on the cramped deck within, breathing in the fresh air. But there was no time to lose. Once the stale, repugnant atmosphere inside the submarine, the result of more than 19 hours underwater, had blown away, the hatches were closed and the submarine's motor was started up. Dead reckoning navigation had led them to the coast in darkness, and, having taken several position fixes through the magnified periscope during daylight hours, Lieutenant Geoffrey Lynn, RN, part of Combined Operations Pilotage Party, COPP, number 9, had worked out their exact location from landmarks on the shore. Oustrem's lighthouse and church, along with the spires of the churches at Longrune, Douvres-la-Delivrande, and Saint-Aubin-d'Arcony, revealed them to be a mere 1,000 yards from their intended target. Quickly, the submarine motored northwest on the last leg of its mission and dropped its anchor. Cautiously, the hatches were opened again, enough to let the tiniest amount of cool night air filter into the submarine's compact interior. It was sufficient. Any fresh air was an improvement on the thick, foul fog that prevailed. On the outside, X-23 was 51 feet long, but inside, the crew had a cabin barely 8 by 5 feet and just under 6 feet high. The only way to survive such a long period underwater was to periodically release pure oxygen, increasing the air pressure each time they did so. With so little space, there had been no chance of any strenuous activity. Conversation and anything that might use up precious air was kept to an absolute minimum anyway, and smoking was impossible. All the submarine's 5 occupants had been able to do was lie on the cramped deck and hope to sleep. Now, somewhat revitalized, the men sat crouched, listening to their radio receiver. No message had come during the allotted time from 23:30 to midnight, but as the clock ticked towards 0100 and the second listening watch, the men were quietly confident that they'd hear the confirmation signal that the operation was on schedule. So they sat, eagerly awaiting the code word, pomade. Finally, not long after the hour, a broken transmission could be heard, but barely intelligible. Honor ordered the gyro repeater compass to be switched off, and the faint transmission could be heard fractionally more clearly. Silence descended inside the submarine as the 5 men listened anxiously to the message as it repeated.
"Hello, Padfoot. This is Knighton," said the crackling voice. "Have message for you. Message addressed 3ALU from 3EVO. Message reads, pretty."
The crew were stunned. Pretty meant that the operation...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?